Our second scripture reading today is going to be John 14, if you want to flip there while I'm making my way over. I'll be reading verses 15 through 21. So this is Jesus' promise about the Holy Spirit. Verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I commanded, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Amen. So these past couple weeks, we've been on a pretty interesting journey. We started with the meta-narrative of salvation history and kind of dialed down into John 3 and looked at how we need to be transformed and born again or born from above. And then we start looking at who is God and who am I in him. And we first looked at God the Father through Psalm 100 and how that short little psalm, one we read this morning as well, gave an amazing illustration about who God the Father is. He is Creator God, loving, personal, our shepherd, and his love endures forever and through all generations. And then we looked at just a small snapshot of who God the Son, the second part of the Trinity, second person, excuse me, of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And even though there's so much information on Jesus, so many books written, and we can't go through all of it in one short message, we looked at some very important factors about who he is and who he showed himself to be to the disciples. And we're continuing on that journey with looking at the third person of the Trinity, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so I had a message prepared, but I'm not going to read that one. In thinking about the Holy Spirit, we need to do what the Spirit guides us to do. And one thing about me is I like to be prepared for something. I like to know all of the details I'm going to talk about. So this right now, as God's calling me, is going to be a little difficult. I'm going to share some of my own story with you. And God's been with my family all the days, and he's blessed us so much. Here's 1 second. And as we follow God, he'll lead you through some difficult times, but those difficult times actually prepare you for what you're doing. And God laid this on my heart to share. As last night, we actually broke down the road. We were driving back from Williamsburg, and our car broke down just west of South Hill. And where we actually stopped is a miracle. Because we're driving along, and started hearing a squealing, and the serpentine belt just popped off the car. And You know, when that happens, you lose power steering, and the temperature started spiking, had to get to the side of the road real quick. And so I pulled over right in this shady spot, and there was a house there. And we're looking at the house as we're waiting for the tow truck to get there and trying to figure out what we're going to do, who we're going to get to drive out to pick us up. Luckily, our knight in shining armor happened to be Sam. Thank you very much for coming out to get us. And we look at this house, and there's like two big tents right next to the house. Like, great. We've got a car broken down right in front of probably, what, a wedding reception? What's going on here? And after we're there for a little while, Jennifer's like, I've got to go up to this house, and I've got to talk to these people. Because, you know, we're broken down right in front of their house. Come to find out that he's a pastor, and he's setting up a tent revival. And so they come out, and we make a new friend right there. God protects us and guides us in everything we do. And as I was thinking about the Holy Spirit and how to bring this message to you, we can talk a lot about who we think God is and attributes and what's been done in the past, but what I felt God's putting on my heart to tell you this morning is, how does he work right here? How does he work within us in this church? How has he worked in your life to bring you to where you need to be? I was listening to, I've mentioned this guy before, Michael Jr. He's a hilarious comedian, but he actually gets serious sometimes. And he's talked about how he had a lot of difficulties in his past with trying to read. And he didn't read the normal way, but he found different ways to look at words, and seven different ways, he says. And that prepared him for his comedy. And he talks about how what you have done in your past, the things you have gone through, when you get to those stressful times, you get to that game time, you're not stressed. You're ready to go. Because that whole time in throughout your life, you've been practicing. It's not stressful anymore. You just get up, you do it, because that's what God has prepared you to do. That is the Holy Spirit working within the church, working within you. Because each of you, in the body of Christ, has been given spiritual gifts. Each of you is part of the body of Christ. And as we're going to go deeper in next week, talking about those gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, you'll see how they all work together, and you can't just throw one out. They're all equally important in the body. Now, why does God use Holy Spirit working through the church, giving these gifts of the Spirit? God can accomplish anything he wants to just by speaking it. We talked about that in creation, where he just spoke and the universe came into existence. God doesn't need our help, but we get the amazing opportunity to gather together. And we have the ability to come into God's mission because he allows us, he invites us in to work his glory, his purpose. We have that awesome, awesome opportunity to join in that mission. How does the Holy Spirit work? He works within the church. He works within us without us even ever knowing he's there. I didn't grow up in the church. I was baptized in a Presbyterian church when I was a baby, but then my upbringing was, my dad was in the Navy, so we kind of bounced around a little bit, and we didn't have a church in our life that much. My mom would take us back to West Virginia to her family for the Christmas and Easter services. And so we kind of knew about God, but didn't really know God. And so as I grew up, there's a lot of questions, and I'm one of those people who I need the answers. I want to find out exactly how something works, and if I can't put it together, then it's not even worth looking at. I kind of got that engineering mindset. My dad's electrical engineer, my brother's software engineer. I come from that type of mindset, engineering, logical, analytical. So when my mom finally got us into church, when my parents divorced, we went back to West Virginia to be with my mom's family. And so in my later middle school and high school years, we got into the youth group. And I was that youth that you did not want in your Bible study. I was the one looking through like, okay, where's the hole? Where's the hole? Here's the hole. I'm going to stick my finger in that. And looking back on it now, I was trying to stump the teacher, because if he didn't have the answer, I was justified in my own disbelief. But as I started getting into later in high school and going into the first year of college, I really got into a soul-searching mode. Okay, what am I doing with my life? Is this God character actually real? And I started really asking questions and trying to figure out, is God real? In a similar case, if you haven't read Case for Christ by Lee Strobel, definitely get that and read that. I was in a similar situation in that I was trying to disprove God. And in the end, same with Lee Strobel, he came to Christ in his quest. And in my search for answers, I didn't get answers. God showed me his presence. And alone in my apartment, listening to the Left Behind series on tape, CD, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Throughout all those different twists and turns in my life, I didn't know it, but God was working in that. One of the youth group things we did in our church in Huntington, West Virginia, we went to what we call work camp. We went to rural West Virginia, and we did work on houses, and for two summers, I shingled roofs. And as a senior, when you get back from mission trips and things like that, the church leadership goes, you should stand up and talk about your experience. Like, I don't want to get up in front of the church and talk about stuff. And so as we're getting up to that Sunday, I was trying to write something. That didn't work. I'm not going to write anything. I'm good. And to this day, I can't remember what I said. Remember, this is before I accepted Christ. This is before I really knew who God was. I get up there, and if my mom ever comes out, ask her about the story, because she tells it better. She said, you got up on the podium,